Well, good morning and welcome to our time of communion. If you love the Lord Jesus, please join with us in remembering him as we partake of the bread and the cup this morning. Well, the death of Jesus on the cross is undoubtedly the greatest demonstration of the love of God that the world has ever seen. The greatest demonstration of love, full stop. The Apostle John says in 1 John chapter 4 and verses 9 to 10, "This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Paul says in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, "You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." However, the death and sacrifice of Christ is not simply a demonstration of God's love. It is also undoubtedly the most awesome demonstration of the wrath of God that we have ever witnessed in the history of the world. We'd probably rather not think so much about the wrath of God. We'd rather concentrate and contemplate on the love of God. After all, one of our best known verses in the Bible is John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." But let's read what John says a couple of verses later in verse 18. "Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." And also in verse 36, "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them." God didn't spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all and poured out his wrath upon his only Son instead of upon us. Although he had no sins of his own, our sins were accounted to him. They were imputed to him. And merely the presence of our imputed sin was sufficient to warrant that awesome judgment and condemnation of God. More severe than the punishment of Sodom and Gomorrah. More severe than the stoning and burning of Achan and his family for coveting the Babylonian gold and silver that we read about in Joshua chapter 7. We are quite incapable of imagining the depths of pain and rejection that Christ suffered for us, cruelly executed by man and seemingly abandoned by God. One writer put it like this: "When Jesus Christ was crucified, the the darkness hid his face. Forsaken there by God and man, he took the sinner's place. Transgressors cannot dwell with God. They have no ray of light. So Christ saw not the Father's face, only eternal night. Let us never underestimate the gravity of our sins. The cross of Christ has demonstrated for all time God's verdict on sin. So we ask ourselves the question, how many times this past week have I fallen short of what God requires? How many times this past week have you fallen short of what God requires of you? As we partake of this communion this morning, let each of us be reminded that each of our failures, each of our sins, has formed part of the suffering of Christ on the cross. And let us therefore strive to lay aside every hindrance, everything that would prevent us from following the Lord Jesus more closely, obeying him more consistently. So we are reminded of the great cost with which we have been bought. And we are humbled by that great sacrifice, that great provision of one who has borne the wrath of God, which was due to fall upon us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, "For our sake, God made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Just as our sin was imputed to him, so his righteousness is imputed to us. The awful sense of being separated from God forced from his parched lips that awful cry, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" The answer is found in Romans chapter 3. "Because there is none righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. But now we may cry to God, 'My God, why have you accepted me?'" And the gospel answers like this: "Because there is one who is righteous. Yes, just one." Let's remember that one this morning. First of all, by taking and eating this bread. Let's give thanks for it. Our loving Father, we thank you that our Lord Jesus was that one righteous man upon whom fell the sins of every sinner. Thank you for this bread, which reminds us of his body that was cruelly nailed to that cross. Thank you, Father, for every remembrance of that great sacrifice that he made for us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let us give thanks for the cup. Our Father, we thank you for this cup, which reminds us of the blood of our Lord Jesus. Thank you for its cleansing power. Thank you that it frees us from the penalty of sin and breaks the power of sin in our lives. Thank you, Father, for that once for all eternal sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made on our behalf. Thank you in his name. Amen. So will you drink the cup with me now? And perhaps I could read that poem again. "When Jesus Christ was crucified, the darkness hid his face. forsaken there by God and man, he took the sinner's place. Transgressors cannot dwell with God. They have no ray of light. So Christ saw not the Father's face, only eternal night. Thank you for joining us this morning. God bless you.